Welcome to another powerful word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you ready for the word? Okay, let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to be going to the book of Luke. Here in just a moment, Luke chapter 1. And today we're going to talk about the Christmas miracle. The Christmas miracle. Well, you'll find out more about that in just a moment. But, you know, without regard as to what a person believes, I mean, everyone realizes that there is a definite spirit of the Christmas season. Something feels the air. Beyond the pressures and beyond the commercialization, beyond the stress, beyond the disappointments, beyond the losses that we share, the losses of loved ones, and the empty feelings that this season can bring to many people, there is still a joy. There's a joy that fills the air, It's available, but not everyone embraces it. Not everyone, you know, feels it, and for a lot of reasons. I noticed here in our church this past Friday night, we had hundreds of families with their children, and it was more than just the free toys and the free food and the free games and all the fun. It was more than that. Something was special about this year, something powerful about this year. There was something noticeable as I walked through all the hundreds of families. There were smiles on all the children's faces, excitement that was beyond just the fun and games. And the parents seemed to have joy in their life, and they seemed to be stepping a little higher. You could feel it. It was something. You could feel that feeling of being in the Christmas spirit. You could just, you know, I mean, Friday night, we all remarked, even as we were cleaning up and Saturday we came back up and then cleaned up some more. Everybody was talking about it. It was a wonderful feeling. There was something extra in the air. You could feel it. You could sense it. Something powerful. Something magnificent, if you would. Something splendid. You know, something wonderful awaits us each year in this season. I can feel it. I hope you can. It's almost like standing on your tiptoes and looking out the window to, you know, like a little kid trying to see that first snowflake falls. You know, you're looking through that frosted window. You're safe and warm inside, but outside you know it's cold and you feel special, you know. That's kind of like that feeling, as I said earlier, without regard to what a person believes, because not everyone believes in Jesus. But without regard to what a person believes, nonetheless, everyone realizes there's a definite spirit attached with this Christmas season. This Christmas spirit stirs in the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls, believers and non-believers alike. You cannot get away from Christmas, you know? I have friends who are not Christians. I have friends from other countries and other religions, and yet they cannot get away from Christmas. It is amazing. We laugh about it. We talk about it. We joke about it. And you know, I get a chance to tell them each year again about Jesus and about the love of Christ. You know, it's such a joy. Christmas is for everyone, but not everyone enjoys Christmas. Not everyone is happy at Christmas. There is a Christmas spirit that wants to bring joy to our heart, but not everyone embraces it. They can't deny it. And sometimes it even seems to hurt a little more when you see so many people happy and you see the lights flashing and you see the tinsel and the trees going up and everybody saying Merry Christmas. You know, listen, Christmas affects everyone, but not everyone enjoys it. Faith cannot be separated from expectancy. I wrote that in red on my notes so it would come up and you could read it, because this is a part of where we're going today. Faith cannot be separated from expectancy. Faith is expecting a miracle. What qualifies as a miracle? Well, anything God does is a miracle. Anything that God touches is a miracle. The Christmas miracle is God doing something for you. Do you need a Christmas miracle this Christmas? Are you in a situation of life that Christmas brings a sadness? It makes you remember the loss. Are you in a place where Christmas, even though everyone else is happy, you just don't feel it? As I said, a miracle is anything that God does, and God has a Christmas miracle for you. If you're not expecting a Christmas miracle this year, perhaps you should be. Perhaps your expectation could change what you receive this year. Not only, you know, from under the tree, but also in your heart. The Bible account of the first Christmas begins with an angel of God. You know the angel. His name was Gabriel. Most likely you're familiar with the story. But if you are not, please read the first chapter and the second chapter of the book of Luke and familiarize yourself with the details. But let me give you a synopsis this morning of that first Christmas. This angel Gabriel, sent from God, paid a visit to a young girl named Mary. She lived in the town of Nazareth. And it was about this time of year, in fact, when Mary was surprised to find out that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, the mother of Jesus the Christ, the mother of the Messiah. You know, however, before Mary could receive the blessing of God on her life, before Mary could participate in the plan of God for her to not only be blessed, but to be a blessing to others, before she could receive her Christmas miracle, she had to bring her life, her mind, her heart, into agreement with God's word and into agreement with God's plan for her life. I shudder to think what would have happened if Mary would have said no. No. Not gonna do it. Don't want it. Leave me alone. Get out of here. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what this will cost me. I'm not interested. Can you imagine what would have happened? You see, before Mary could receive the blessings that God had planned for her, Mary had to come into agreement with God and had to agree with His plan for her life. Even though she did not know how this thing could be, even after the angel had told her, she said, I don't know how, but yet she believed the word of God. She believed this messenger from God. And I submit to you this morning that I am a messenger from God, telling you something fantastic, telling you something unimaginable, telling you something wonderful and splendid and magnificent. I am a messenger from God telling you something that is hard to believe. But you cannot receive it until you believe it. For Mary told the angel in Luke 1:37, that when 1:36, she told him she didn't know how this would be. And the angel said to her in verse 37, he said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Here's a messenger telling you this morning that with God, nothing will be impossible. What is it that you're facing this year? What is it that you need? What is it that your family is lacking? What is it? What is it? Is it something physical, something mental, emotional, something financial? You know, what is it? What is it that you're in need of? What is the miracle? What could Christmas do for you this year? The angel told Mary, after he said to her, "You will conceive and bring forth a child," she said, "How?" He said, "Just remember this. With God, nothing is impossible." You see, you cannot separate faith from expectancy. When we cease to expect God to do what only God can do, we're moving ourselves away from faith into fear, into worry, into doubt, into concerns. Mary, no doubt she was the first person that she needed to convince. Okay? Think about it. Think about what she's been told. Think about what this angel said to her. Think about the impossibilities of this. And so Mary, in the next verse, is going to voice her agreement with God. But not only is she saying this so that the angel will know, so that God will know, and so that we can know, but there is not a doubt in my mind that Mary is first needing to convince herself that she is on board with God's plan. I believe that we all need this voice of confession. I believe we all need this voice of agreement with God to move us off center and to get us into the field that God needs us in. Verse 38, the next verse, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord.'" That's all I am. I am at your disposal. "Let it be to me according to your word." There, Gabriel, knowing that he had completed his assignment, the Bible says he departed from her. The passage that I want to focus on this morning, however, comes a few verses later. It comes a few days later and a few verses later. We know that the angel had shared some things with Mary. One of the things he shared is that her cousin, who had been barren, her name was Elizabeth, and she was quite old, beyond childbearing years. She is pregnant, the angel said. "And this will be a sign to you, Mary. This is going to help you." You know, we all need help along the way, looking and seeing small pieces of confirmation. I call them a cloud the size of a man's hand. It's out of one of the prophets when Elijah was praying for rain after a long drought. He prayed and he prayed. He prayed seven times and he looked. He kept looking and kept looking. His servant kept looking. And finally, they saw a cloud the size of a man's hand in the distance. And that was enough confirmation for him to realize, I've gotten through to God. It's the little things. It's the little changes. It's the little miracles along the way that encourage us so much and that add to our faith and create an expectancy that says we can trust God. You know, I am going to expect this miracle. And it carries us along step by step. by a gracious hand of God that is revealing His will to us and then bringing us ever closer to Him gently and with grace. You can trust God. You can believe God. You can experience a Christmas miracle this year. Mary, when she heard about her cousin, she took a trip right after the angel departed. She took a trip and she walked south, and it's about an 80 to 90 mile walk. She walked all the way down to where her cousin Elizabeth lived, just near Jerusalem. And there, her cousin Elizabeth was so encouraged to see her. And the Holy Spirit filled her cousin Elizabeth whenever Mary greeted her. And it was such a spiritual dynamic. We should look for these spiritual dynamics. We should look for the impact that we have on others when we are carrying Christ. When we are carrying Jesus, we should notice the positive impact we have on others, that the Holy Spirit reaches out from our life and touches them in their moment of concern, in their moment of need, in their moment of joy, that the Holy Spirit that we carry adds to their life, encourages them. Elizabeth said some very good things about Mary by the Holy Spirit. And Mary, all of a sudden, Mary begins to feel special. She begins to feel chosen. She all of a sudden realizes that God really does love me. God really does have a plan for my life. And what the messenger of God said to me really is real. And it must have seemed every morning when she woke up like a dream. And here, a few days later, a few verses later, she finds herself, verse 46, in a place to where she again needs to give voice to what she is believing, to what she is feeling. She basically here is praying or singing, as some would have it, or exclaiming. She is giving voice to something that has become real to her. She says in verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Verse 48, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Now, here's Mary. Picture her as a young girl. Picture her as 16 years old. Picture her as this young girl, engaged to be married, but not yet married. She's never known a man. She has a contract. She's a virgin. She receives this messenger from heaven, and she's told she's going to have a child by the Holy Spirit, that she's chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. The best she could do, not knowing how it was going to happen, was to bring herself into agreement with God. Basically, "I believe you. Be it unto me according to your word." And I believe you. But then she wants to check out the angel. She wants to make sure that, she needs just a little bit of encouragement here, a little confirmation, because she's just about to go through some very difficult times in her life, some very difficult moments in her life. And it's okay with her as long as God's with her. It's okay with her as long as she knows she's in the will of God. She's not afraid of anything except being out of God's will. Here she has gone chosen as the mother of the Son of God. Right up until the angel's message, Mary never expected to be special. There's no indication. I cannot imagine that Mary ever expected to be anything other than a poor girl from the city of Nazareth, which is a construction worker city. It's a city where construction workers, carpenters, those were construction workers. They worked in masonry. They worked in wood. They built cities for the Romans. And it was a construction worker village. And it was known for its population because they weren't very popular. They weren't special. In fact, there was a proverb, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Because everybody believed that only bad people lived there. Only these group of construction workers that were rabble rousers and they weren't even from there. They were temporary. And can anything good come from Nazareth? She was this young girl who had not much to look forward to in life. She's engaged to another carpenter, to a construction worker that's evidently older than her. There's no indication that before the messenger brought the message, there's no reason to imagine that Mary felt special. However, after Mary came into agreement with God's word and into agreement with God's plan for her life, she never felt less than special. Something in her life changed. She never felt anything less than chosen. Mary believed in her Christmas miracle, and her faith gave Christmas to us all. Her expectancy. Think about where Christmas was born from. Think about where Christ came from. This young lady that had to say yes. And she became a blessing to the whole world. Listen to her exclamation again. Verse 49, this is what she said. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." April, could you leave that up for just a moment, that scripture up? "He who is mighty has done great things for me." You know what that word mighty means in the Greek? It's dunatos. It's where we get the word dunamis. If you may have heard that in the past, actually that is a root word of this. It means to be powerful. It means to be mighty. It means to be able. It means to excel in strength. Now look what she is saying. She's come to the realization that the one who is able to do anything, the one who is powerful and mighty and strong, and the one who could do miracles, the one who can do anything, the one who is mighty, has done. This word translated "has done," it means to create. It means to perform. It means to make. The one who could do anything has made, has done, has created great things. I wish I could say this word. I wish I could speak this like Pastor Ken does. It's megalias. Who knows? But it comes from, it means magnificent. It means excellent. It means splendid. Now, let's go back and see what Mary has said. Now, this is a young lady on a journey. She's not seen the end of this yet. She's just in the beginning of it. She's just starting this faith walk. Okay? She's just a few days into this faith walk. Hadn't got her miracle yet. Okay? I mean, she's just a few days into this, into what she has told God. Okay, God, you know, let's do it your way. I'll do it your way. Your plan for my life. I'm on board with this. Okay? And now she has come to a realization that the one who is mighty, the one who can do anything, has performed, has created something magnificent, something splendid, something marvelous, something wonderful. But do you see what the last two words are? For me. Here's where we miss it many times at Christmas. We see everybody else having a good time. And you are the only one that knows your burdens. You're the only one that knows the depth of your hurt, your pain, your sadness, your despair, your worry, your weight. You know, you're locked up with you. Mary was the only one who knew what she was facing. But she said, the one who could do anything has created this marvelous, magnificent miracle for me. You know what this Greek word is for me? Pastor Ken, are you looking it up already? Are you getting ahead? He loves it. You read the notes. I sent my notes out. I knew he would love this word because French has an equivalent. It's M-O-I. Moi? Moi? It's what the French say. The French say this in a kind of a joking way to exclaim, who, me? Me? You know, oh, couldn't be me. Not me. Moi? Moi? There's a French lady, two French ladies on the way to my house. She's coming from France, and my grandson's picking her up. Are they going to make it for lunch, you think? I don't know. Who knows? She's just flying in from Paris today, and I thought she will enjoy this whenever I go, moi? I'm speaking Greek. I'm sorry. Moi? It's Greek. It's Greek. It's Greek for not the proper me, but for the personal me. For me. You see, that's what Mary had to buy into. Mary had to become expectant that the one who could do anything, this great God that we serve, the God of the universe, the God of all power, the God of all might, that He had looked upon her. And that He had done something marvelous just for her. Today I challenge you. You know, you may not feel as special as God knows you are. But God has looked upon you with such love. And the one who is mighty has done great things just for you. What are my takeaways today? I'll leave you with these three things very briefly. Number one, enjoying Christmas is up to you. Okay? Not everyone does. But enjoying Christmas is up to you. And if you're going to enjoy Christmas, you'll need to get yourself in agreement with God and with His plan for your life. That's the only way that you're going to enjoy this. His plan will include you making an effort to verbalize your agreement with God, to embrace this Christmas spirit, to embrace the love, the joy, the peace of this season, because this is the season that God brought Christ to the world. We cannot separate faith from expectancy. Okay. Are you expecting a miracle this year? A Christmas miracle? If not, why not? Why not? You see, enjoying Christmas is going to be up to you this year. Okay? Be like Mary. Decide you're going to get with the program. Okay? And start verbalizing it. Okay? Come on, start spreading a little cheer. Number two, what you choose will affect what others experience. Okay? That's the story of Mary. Your choices, what you choose, will affect what other people experience. You know, you can throw some sadness on everything you go to, or you can throw some joy on it. Okay? You make a difference. Mary made a difference. Mary brought Christmas to every one of us. What you choose will affect what others experience. Don't be a Scrooge. Don't be a Pharisee this year. Okay? Don't be a Scrooge. Don't be a Pharisee. Okay? Come on. These are the truths. Whoa, what a great Christmas story. And number three, the third thing, and I close with this, is that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself down. Verbalize your agreement with God and with His plan. Let Him be God. God wants you to experience a Christmas miracle. He has something just for you. Mary realized this is personal. This is, He did this for me. Wow. He'll do a miracle for you as well.
Thanks again for joining us for another exciting message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to all of our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.